And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's 11:07 on a Sunday evening. This is June 26th. It's program number 90 in the series. Oh my gosh, Lisa, we're hit the big 9-0 of the WGN Radio Theater. How are you, Smiley?
I'm good. How are you? Glad to be here.
Very good. Lisa with a smile and a smile on her voice and a smile on her face.
Yeah, I've heard that once or twice before.
It's good to see you, Lisa.
Thanks,
we have
you
Mike
too.
Estella here, our executive producer. Elif Garris is here, our producer. And we have two special guests in the studio. I'll tell you who they are in just a few minutes because, well, I can't wait. We're going to tell you right now. It's Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, and Dave Weiske, who's the VP of Customer Success. They're both here. We're going to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. In just a minute, I'll have them on the air. Want to tell you that tonight we have a salute to a great actor, Brian Donlevy. We have three radio shows that he starred in, including Suspense, Dangerous Assignment, and Burns and Allen. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the TV series The 1% about a dysfunctional family who struggles to keep their farm from financial ruin. And if you can identify this actress's voice, you will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, my favorite and home of the best deep dish pizza. Let me just let you know very quickly that if you have won a prize on WGN Radio Theater within the last 60 days, you are not eligible to win tonight. So we'll give somebody else a chance. If not, we hope that you'll call in 312-981-7200.
All right, here is a hint. This actress is heard here starring in Million Dollar Baby.
If I'm too old for this, then I got nothing. That enough truth to suit you?
All right, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after this break. Hey, Cubs fans, head to Jewel Osco every Sunday to collect your 2016 Chicago Cubs Fathead stickers free inside the Chicago Tribune starting June 26th through August 14th.
Welcome back. This is show 90 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip one more time.
If I'm too old for this, then I got nothing. That enough truth to suit you?
And we've got Chris on the line from Joliet. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Great. You recognize that voice?
It sounds like Hillary Swank.
You are right. Chris, do you like pizza?
I do.
Yeah, me too. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish, and you can visit one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations and check them out at loumalnatis.com. Chris, thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate your listening to the show.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris. All right, let's bring back to our sound stage. They have been here before. Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hi, Carl.
And Dave Weiske, the Vice President of Customer Success at Cat's Pride in Oil Dry. What's up, Dave? How are
good
you?
Good evening.
Hi, guys.
It's good to have you. And let's talk about Cat's Pride and Ultimate Care and this campaign with Katherine Heigl, and then we're going to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
Great. Well, we have to start by congratulating Katherine. She is pregnant.
Yes.
That's it's all
right.
over the internet now, yeah. And her fans, she's tweeting about it. She actually tweeted her sonogram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the internet crazy. These days. So we've now seen what little baby Heigl looks like. Actually, Kelly, I suppose. Josh Kelly is
that's right.
Father.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's great because she has two other children, and this is the third child that they. Oh, that's great. Congratulations,
and I
Katherine.
I think somewhere they said it's going to be a boy. She has two daughters.
Oh,
and
wow.
She'll have a
fantastic.
Son, so. Very exciting.
Very exciting. All right, so tell us about Cat's Pride and Ultimate Care, and why that people out there, that if they're not using Ultimate Care, Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, they should be switching to it.
Well, Carl, on previous visits, we've talked about the performance, which is always the most important reason to buy any cat litter, and ours is absolutely the best performing cat litter, 10-day odor control, the hardest clumps, low dust. And today I want to focus on the carbon footprint aspect of it, of why it's so good for the environment to buy Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. And that's why we put it in a green jug. You know, green connotates good for the environment. Because the product is 50% lighter, you can get twice as many units on a truckload, which means if the whole country adopted it, we would cut the number of trucks in half. Now, Dave, I know you've measured what the impact to the carbon footprint was just in the last 12 months by people who have already chosen to switch.
Right. And if you look at the last 12 months, I mean, we look at our distribution on average miles that we travel per shipment. And over the last 12 months, we've eliminated 1,000 trucks off the road, which equates to almost 2 million pounds of CO2 emissions reduced, and 93,000 gallons of diesel that have been reduced. I mean,
and that's
phenomenal.
And that's just growing. In other words, you're saving that by the more people that choose Ultimate Care. And so that's phenomenal. Not only is that one of the great reasons, but it's the best performing, but it also helps cats and dogs all across the country. Talk about the foundation a little bit, Dan.
So we've partnered with the Heigels, with the Jason Debus Heigel Foundation, to end the needless suffering of companion animals. That's a passion of the Heigel family, and it's a passion of my family and the Oil Drive family. And so we have partnered together. You will see on our package the Jason Debus Heigel Foundation logo. And every time a consumer purchases a jug of Ultimate Care, we make a donation to the foundation. And they do a lot of great work. They bring animals in from low adoption rates to high adoption zip codes. They also subsidize low-cost spay and neuter, which is very important. So they do a lot of great work, and we're happy to partner with them. And all we need you to do is to buy our product,
right.
And then we'll send some of the money over to the Heigels.
Well, there's a lot of cat owners listening to the show, and they use some kitty litter, so you should be using Cat's Pride Ultimate Care for sure.
I was going to mention, I know Mike has a cat or a few cats, and I know he switched over to Fresh and Light. So what do you think, Mike?
I think it works great.
And
absolutely.
I got
definitely
some
recommend it.
For my daughter as well, who has a cat. So we are very excited to partner with you and to be able to promote your product here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Well, Lisa and Carl, thank you. And in the most recent period, this is scanner data that we can purchase. We were up 63% in the most recent period, but we're still only up to a 2.5 share. So we have a long way to go. So I'll keep reporting on that. But we still can convert 97.5% of you listeners out there. So we look forward to doing that.
Well, every time we give away Cat's Pride, we've got one more person that's using it every month, Dan.
And that's so we have a drawing here every single month. Dan Jaffe comes in here and he chooses one of you listeners out there that have sent in a picture of your cat. Now, if you haven't done this before, I want to tell you a little bit about it. All you have to do is take a picture of you and your cat or just your cat and email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. We need your name, your cat's name, and your city and state, and then you're automatically entered into the drawing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do this every single month. So if you didn't get to do it this month, you can do it next month. We'll have another drawing at the end of August, and these guys will hopefully come back and draw again and again and again and again. So this is an ongoing promotion that
yep,
we have.
Yep, we really appreciate it. All right, let's do it. We have all of the submissions for the last month. In a, it's sort of like a black bag.
And guys, go to WGNradio.com and you can actually watch this taking place
yes.
if you're not doing that already.
Yeah.
So.
All right, drum roll, please.
All right, here we go.
And the winner is of this month's 1 year free supply of Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, Carrie Mander, her cat Marco. From Plainfield, Illinois.
All
so,
right.
Carrie, thank you for participating, and we hope you love the litter. You'll be getting a little personal thank you note from me along with coupons for free cat litter for the year.
And also, Cat's Pride at their website has coupons. You can download coupons, and they also have a Cats Pride Club you can join. And what's the website? It's Cats Pride.
www.catspride.com.
Right. There you go. All right. Well, Dan Jaffe, thank you. And also, real quick, Dave, tell us about the stores people can find Cats Pride Ultimate Care in the Green Jug. Where can they find it?
Sure. So we're almost everywhere. I think when you talk about ACV, which is one of our distribution KPIs, we're in a large distribution pattern. But Walmart, Albertsons, Kroger, H-E Butt, Publix, you can get locally in the Chicagoland area. Jewel, you can go to Wegmans, Delhaize as we reach further out in the Northeast, Wakefern, Giant Eagle, Super Value, which is local. I can go on and on. But again,
and Amazon too, right?
Yeah. And
Amazon
again,
as
when
well,
you talk
right?
about the dollar channel, we are trying to, penetrate that. But for, again, getting out to the web, if you can't get it at home, if you can't go ahead and get out from home, I should say, you can go on out to Amazon.com. You can go out to Chewy.com. Those are two major sites that we're definitely distributing Start.
Very good.
And my specific challenge to the listeners is if you happen to shop at Target, they do not carry Cat's Pride Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. So I encourage you to ask the department manager, where's Ultimate Care? And hopefully we'll get enough people asking
right.
for it, and we'll get into Target.
We need Target to carry it because, again, this is helping the world. This is a product that helps the world, and it also helps these suffering cats and dogs all across the country. It's a great cause, and I applaud you, Dan and Dave. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being part of the show and for giving away another year's supply of Cat's Pride Kitty Litter. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
well,
guys.
Thank you, and we love our partnership with the WGN Radio Theater.
Thank
so
you,
thank
Dan.
You, guys. Thank
we
you,
feel
Dave.
The same.
All right, it's time for Suspense. I know, Dan, this is one of your favorite radio shows, Suspense. Brian Donlevy stars in three radio shows. We're going to start off now with an episode of Suspense called The Black Path of Fear. This is from August 31st, 1944. Brian Donlevy, who we are saluting tonight, stars here in part one of Suspense.
Suspense. Tonight, Black Path of Fear, starring Brian Donlevy.
Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you
Suspense. This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, who tonight from Hollywood bring you as star, Mr. Brian Donlevy. And so with the performance of Mr. Donlevy as Bill Scott in the Cornell Woolrich bestseller, The Black Path of Fear. We again hope to keep you in suspense.
It was our first day in Havana. We'd taken a hack, an open horse-drawn carriage, and spent the afternoon driving around to see the sights. She was always crazy about jade, so in Chinatown, we stopped in a little curiosity shop the driver steered us to. We bought a few gadgets there and started back towards the main part of the town. It was getting dark, and she snuggled up close to me in the carriage.
It's been a wonderful day, Scotty.
Yeah.
I was scared at first. A couple of times I thought I saw him in the crowds there in Chinatown. I guess it was just my imagination.
Sure it was. He wouldn't try any rough stuff this far from his home base. He may be a little Caesar around the nightclubs back in Florida, but here in Cuba, he's just another alien who'd better not get caught packing a rod.
He said he'd get me if I ever left him, no matter where I went.
Well, he sent us a radiogram wishing us luck.
Yes, that's what worries me. He didn't say which kind of luck.
I talk of it.
Hey, what's this, driver?
Hey, Sloppy Joe, senor. Big attraction of Havana.
Of course. Sloppy Joe's. Want to go in, darling?
Why not? We can only die once.
So I paid the coachman and we went into Sloppy Joe's. The place was jammed to the sidewalk line and so noisy you couldn't hear yourself think. It was like a football scrimmage when you moved and like sardines in a can when you stood still. Then suddenly the crowd divided in front of us like the Red Sea, and a little photographer came through using an old-fashioned tripod for a battering ram. He set up his camera and pointed it in our direction.
Ah, the senor and the lady would like a picture for to show their friends back in the estate.
No.
Please, Scotty, we've never had a picture taken together.
Together? With 40,000 people jammed up against us on all sides?
Oh, well, it's that maybe you come to my studio. Calle Barrios. Calle Barrios is not far.
Nah, go on. Shoot it here. Go ahead.
Well, make pause, please. Mucho love. Si como no? SOS. Hold it.
No.
That is all. I have the picture.
Mm. Well, he's taking us now, darling. Oh, come on, honey. Everybody's looking at it.
Don't rush me, Scotty.
Huh?
Give me time.
What is it? Why are you so limp, Eve?
I know we wouldn't make it. Why do we care? Part of a night's better than none at all.
Eve!
Just stay with me a minute. Won't take long.
Darling, what happened? What happened?
Scotty, that was the first picture we ever had taken together.
Huh?
Let me know how it turns out.
Eve, darling. She's dead. She doesn't move anymore. Somebody do something, will you? She's been knifed right here in my arms. Havana is a fast town for anything. Love, life, and death, too. A minute ago, I'd been half of a honeymoon couple getting their first picture snapped by a little Cuban photographer in Sloppy Joe's. Now, I was alone with a corpse in an empty saloon. But that didn't go on for long either. There were cops there in half a minute, and finally a detective.
This woman is dead.
Yeah, I know.
You were the man with her?
I was the man with her.
Your name?
Scott, Bill Scott.
Mr. Scott, how long have you been in Havana?
4 hours.
You quarreled with this girl here in this bar?
No, no.
You were traveling together?
Yes, that's right.
Her name on her tourist card is Mrs. Edward Spinelli.
Yeah.
Where is Mr. Spinelli?
Not where I'd like him to be, which is roasting.
You are not being very cooperative, Mr. Scott.
Okay, I'll tell you the whole story. She was a singer in a nightclub in Tampa, Florida. Spinelli owned the nightclub. He was a killer. He gave her the choice between getting killed and marrying him. So she married him.
And how did you meet her?
I worked for Spinelli, too. I drove his car.
Hmm. You are not a chauffeur by profession, are you, Mr. Scott?
No. I took the job to get her away from him. Is there anything wrong in that?
The murder weapon, this knife. What do you know about it?
What are you driving at?
Is this your knife, Mr. Scott?
No, but it's a pretty close match. I bought one just like it this afternoon in a curiosity shop. Wait a minute, I'll show you. I've got it in my pocket right
there. Cuidado, agarralo.
Wait a minute. Don't get so excited. All right, it's in that pocket right there. Fish it out yourself if you want to.
There is no knife here.
But there's got to be. It was a knife with a jade handle, like this one, with a monkey carved on it. But the monkey on the one I bought was holding its hands over its ears. There were three of them in the shop. You know, the type. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil.
I only know that you bought a knife this afternoon. That you no longer have a knife and that the knife has been used to stab this woman.
But it's not the same knife, I tell you. I can prove it. Give me a chance to prove it, will you?
All right, Mr. Scott. I will give you a chance.
So we went back to the shop where I'd bought the knife, back to Chinatown. Inspector Acosta, that was the Cuban detective's name, questioned the old duck who sold it to me.
You remember this man buying something in here this afternoon, Viejo?
Yes. Gentleman buy knife. Ornamental knife. Knife with jade handle.
Describe the jade handle.
Jade handle have monkey.
We know that. Describe the monkey.
Pretty sure... Oh, monkey hiding eyes. See no evil.
You're crazy. What's the matter with you? What are you trying to do to me? I bought the one holding its ears. You know it.
Tio Chin, this man's life may depend on what you are saying. But you are absolutely sure.
Come by threes. First one is sold to this gentleman. Other still got. Can show you.
Can lie in your teeth. Listen, Acosta. So what if he shows you the set with that one missing? He's probably got 100 sets in the storeroom.
Well, only one set imported. Can show customs invoices.
Uh-huh. How did this man and this woman act when they came into the shop?
Oh, lady act scale, very scale.
I told you, she was afraid Spinelli was going to have her bumped off. Well, he did it. And this guy has been paid to frame me. Can't you see that?
I am sorry, Mr. Scott, but I must place you under arrest for the murder of Mrs. Eve Spinelli.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense with the Black Path of Fear, starring Brian Donlevy from 1944. We'll get back to it after these words and the news. So let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. It's 11:36 on a Sunday night. We're here every Saturday and Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock. Was that like
you
a...
You had to think about that,
what
didn't
was
you?
That? Was that like a bird crowing in the background, or is that a person?
That was me. Sorry. Had a big dinner.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
You know, I like a person that'll admit it. You know, she admitted it. I appreciate that,
yeah,
Lisa.
A big
don't
salad
try to
for
hide
dinner.
It.
No,
you know?
No. It's a great
you
big
know,
salad.
We're all human, you know?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not me. Is that what you meant?
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I just,
all right.
You know.
You're the one with two brains.
Yeah.
Lisa has two brains.
They're just kind of like popping out of my
huge
head.
Huge bulbous two brain head there. But nice kind of second Dylan read there.
Thanks,
nice job.
Carl.
Nice job,
I
Lisa.
I work
Wolf.
Hard. I try to do a good job for us.
I know you do, and you do. You do a good job. All right, so we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. We play classic radio shows for you. We're saluting Brian Donlevy, and we're tuning in to an episode of Suspense. This is called The Black Path of Fear, and it's from August of 1944. Here's the conclusion now to Suspense.
As we threaded our way back through Chinatown in the police car, I thought the whole thing over. I came to a decision. The car fitted in the narrow lane like a cork in a bottle. If it should come to a halt in front of the door of a building... And finally it did. Just that. I bolted. They came after me fast. The door I ducked into opened into a pitch-black hallway. I groped around till I found a flight of stairs, and I started climbing.
Out! Out, or I shoot!
Go ahead and shoot! I ducked back in the shadows, turned the knob of the nearest door, and tossed my hat over at the foot of the roof ladder to make it look as if I'd lost it while climbing. I backed through the door into a room. In the dark room, I stood very still and listened. They were separating to case the roof along the block. I was safe for a few minutes anyway. Tried to figure out where I was. Room. A dark room. I strained my eyes into the blackness. Then something cold and metallic found the side of my neck. It was the business edge of a knife, blade. A light snapped on.
Bueno.
No hablo español.
Nothing, hueva.
Oh, take it easy. Take it easy, will you? I can't talk your language. Put that knife down, will you?
Te quiero estar aquí.
Polizei. Verstehen Sie? Understand? Comprende? Look. Out there on the stairs. I don't know how to say it. Polizia. They're after me. Cops.
Cops? Why didn't you say so before? I hate cops.
Oh, you talk English?
I ought to have been in enough of your jails to take out naturalization papers. Hey, get over here. I do what I can for you.
They're coming back. I better get out of here.
Don't be a fool. There's 20 of them down in the street now. They sure must want you bad, Chico.
They say I killed my girl.
They say wrong?
They say very wrong.
Another man took her away from you?
No. I took her away from another man.
Ah, then any fool of a policeman knows you did not kill her. You never kill what does not belong to you. Only what does.
You tell them that. Oh, here comes Petey.
Quickly, get into the cot there. Cover yourself up.
What? But...
Do as I tell you. Take off that shirt. Well... Don't stop for the buttons. Tear it off.
Well...
Now then, face the wall.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
Keep perfectly still. Don't rub against the covers. Now, don't move.
Dispense, senor. Ha visto usted un hombre alto, macizo, americano?
No he visto a nadie.
¿Quién es ese?
Mi hombre, mi marido.
Llamoslo.
Está muy enfermo. Vuela.
¿Vuela?
Sí, vuela. Ve a la cuarentena.
It's verdad. We ran a while ago.
Espérense, señor. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
What was all that about?
Shh.
What are all these red spots on me?
I put them there with lipstick. Huh? I told the cops you were my husband. You have smallpox.
And they believed it?
Why not? I showed them the quarantine sign on the door. Manolito, that was my man. He died of smallpox in this room.
Huh?
Oh, do not be alarmed. It has been disinfected.
Oh. Say, thanks. But why did you go to bat for me like that anyway?
Different reasons. Flowers on a grave, I guess.
Flower? What do you mean?
It's hard to explain. It's my way of doing something for somebody that's not around anymore, I guess. It's the only way I have. I do not know any other way. You see, I know what it is to lose someone you love, too. Just like you.
Manolito?
He got smallpox in jail. Then he come back here to me to die. Hey, what is your name, Guapo?
Bill Scott.
It's Scott?
No, Scott with an S.
It's too hard to say. I call you Guapo.
Guapo?
That means handsome. Huh.
Well, thanks. What'll I call you?
Around this neighborhood, they call me Medianoche. It means midnight. Try it that way.
Okay, midnight.
They call me that because now I always hang around late by myself since he's gone.
Well, midnight, I don't know what to say to you except thanks.
De nada. Flowers on a grave.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'd better get going.
What do you want to throw away all my hard work for?
Hmm?
They spot you at the next corner.
Well, I can't hang around here for the rest of the night.
What's the matter with it here?
You know, if I could only get hold of that photographer.
Photographer?
Yeah, there was a photographer in Sloppy Joe's. He was snapping a picture of us just when it happened.
Oh, you think maybe in this picture is the man who killed your sweetheart?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it.
Think, Guapo. What do you remember about this photographer?
Oh, he is just a typical cheap photographer of tourists. Wait a minute. He said something about having a studio somewhere near Sloppy's.
Calle Barrios?
That's it, Calle Barrios. Look, do you know this guy?
Sailors go there with the girls to get their pictures taken. Mm. His name is Pepe Campos.
I've got to get that picture, Midnight. I'll have to risk
it. Un momentito. I first get you some other clothes.
Huh?
Here. I think this fit you.
What?
Where? Manolito was one big sailor. And now listen. I tell you how to get from here over to the Calle Barrios so maybe the police don't see you. You go down to the mouth of the alley. You turn to the right. That is this hand here. Just a few steps from there.
It was so dark, I almost had to feel my way along the streets. Suddenly, out of nowhere, came a voice. There were two of them there, keeping the alley covered. I looked back the way I had come. Someone was coming toward me through the blackness. I waited there, paralyzed.
¿Qué tal, marinero?
What?
Are you lonesome?
Yeah. Hey, you want a drink, sister? Well, look, walk close to me like this.
Huh?
Now, lean up closer. Get your face up under mine, honey. That's it. Give me a little more affection. That's the stuff. Now, look. Walk down this way with me, just past the corner.
You said it, big boy. You said it.
What do you want to drink, honey?
You said it.
That's good. Here's the turn. Goodbye, sister.
Chipskit!
I was afraid of yelling. I'd attract the cops, so I took off down the street, and then I ducked into the alley to catch my breath. I looked up. There was a sign on the shop. Campos Retratos y Fotografías. At first, I didn't get it. Then, all of a sudden, I knew. I was there.
I opened the door and walked in.
Senor?
Look, you took a picture this evening of me and a lady in Sloppy Joe's. I want that picture.
No me recuerdo. I do not recall, senor.
Now, look, there was trouble right afterwards. You know, a lot of noise, remember?
Oh, si. I remember. Oh. I am just developing the pictures I have taken today. You come with me. This is my dark room. The very latest equipment. Kodak.
Yeah. But where's that picture?
Oh, right here. In the bath.
Oh. Yeah. It's beginning to come through.
Si.
Yeah, that's us.
Oh, someone leans over the lady's shoulder, no?
Yeah, let's have some more light on the subject, will you?
This is someone you know, senor?
It's someone I know, all right. His name is...
Never mind the name, Scotty. I'll introduce myself.
Spinelli.
Stand over against the wall, Scotty. You too. Well, I'm glad you found this picture, Scotty. I was kind of nervous about having a thing like this floating around. You can understand my feelings.
You surprised me, Spinelli. I didn't think you even had the guts to stab a woman in the back without your gorillas around to protect you.
Don't make me angry, Scotty. I'm in a bad mood.
I didn't know you were smart like you are either, Spinelli. I apologize. You know, that was a cute trick, hiring a cab driver to steer us into that shop in Chinatown. But what I still can't figure out is how you switched those knives.
I didn't. I still have the knife you bought. I frisked it out of your pocket. Now I'm going to give it back to you. Would you like to see it first? There. It's pretty, ain't it? Eve always had an eye for jades. This is definitely the best of the three. It's a pity to spoil such a pretty knife, but the revolver, it makes too much noise. Yeah, I think I'll use the knife on you, too. I like things symmetrical. Like Romeo and Juliet, and... What's that? Don't move, Scotty.
Wapo, are you in here?
His sweetheart not dead an hour, and already he has another.
Midnight. Get out of here, quick. This man is a killer.
Oh, I'm not afraid of you, big boy.
Keep away from me and don't try any funny business.
Oh, my hombre, he was just like you. He talk very mean. But he don't hurt me. Not one little bit.
I don't only talk, big sister. I got a job to do here. I'll talk to you when I shut your boyfriend's trap for good.
My boyfriend? Ha, are you kidding? Go ahead, finish him off. He took a powder on me. I come after him only to collect.
Oh, undercuff, huh? Ah, Scotty, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Undercuff.
Hey, you are rich, huh? You got big diamonds. Say, I like you, mister.
Stop mooching around.
Midnight, I tell you, this guy's a killer. Watch out.
Ah, shut up. Say, huh? How about it, big boy? Come on.
Stick around, baby. I can use talent like yours.
Kiss me, big boy.
Later.
Now, or I yell very loud.
Hey,
make big trouble.
You're pretty hot stuff, ain't you?
You don't know the half of it, big boy, huh?
Come here.
Now, Bobo! Oh, your gun! Grab the gun!
You dirty little stool pigeon.
Shut up, Spinelli. I've got the gun now.
Scotty, I was only throwing a scare into you. Why, I would have knocked you off right away if that's what I meant to do, wouldn't I?
What's it worth to you to stay alive, Spinelli?
Scotty, $100,000 in the bank right here in Havana. Just let me go over that table there. Check the bearer, no strings.
Spinelli, I want Eve back again.
$200,000. Chicago account thrown in. $250,000, that's a quarter of a million, Scotty.
I want Eve.
You can't bring the dead to life, Scotty, but you can be rich. Kill me and you get nothing but a murder rap. The picture don't show me sticking the knife in her. The knife don't mean anything. Chin and the driver will never talk. You're just fixing up a nice murder rap for yourself, Scotty.
Shut up. Stand over under the lights, Spinelli.
Huh?
I don't want to miss.
Scotty. Don't do it, Scotty. Scotty. Scotty! Win. Scotty.
So, that's the story, Inspector. I've come to give myself up for the murder of Ed Spinelli. Huh? What are you going to do about it, Inspector?
About what?
About what? About what I just told you, the murder.
I don't speak English so good. I often miss hearing things that are said, especially when they are said too fast.
All right, I can say it slower. I just killed a man named Ed Spinelli.
My English stinks today. I don't understand.
You don't understand? I said...
I don't know what you said. If I should get word from the commissioner to hold a man named Scott for murder, that would be different. It would be in my language. Unless that should happen and it hasn't, please, would you mind not coming in here and mumbling in this English of yours that I don't understand? Senor Scott.
Yeah?
This girl. This media noche.
Midnight? What about her? Do you know where she is?
That girl, that woman. She's been raising Cain in my jail all night, all day yesterday.
Well, what's she charged with?
My foolish officers questioned her, and then they didn't know any better that they put down some charge other than the book. Senor Scott, we have been stuck with her ever since. She's like a hurricane.
Well, I'll agree with you there.
Senor Scott, if you have not enough to bail her out, I'll pay it out of my own pocket, anything to get her out.
Well, midnight, it's all over.
Yes, Waco, it is over.
Have you any idea where we're headed for?
It's Sloppy Joe's. The feet of an American in Havana walk always in the direction of the Sloppy Joe's. No?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear it already. I'd like to ask you in for a drink midnight.
No, Waffle. You go in alone.
Oh, won't you just have one with me, please?
No.
Why not?
There's someone waiting for you in there.
Oh, that's crazy, Midnight. I don't know anybody in Havana except you.
Someone is waiting for you in there, Guapo. How do you say flowers on a grave? No?
Flowers on a grave. And Sloppy Joe's?
Love makes any place beautiful. Even a Sloppy Joe's. Go on, Guapo. Buy her a drink at the bar and tell her how that picture you took together turned out. You promised you would, remember?
How do you tell something to somebody that's dead?
In your mind, Guapo, where she will always be.
Oh. I'll try and tell her, Midnight. I'll tell her about you, too.
No. No, she will be jealous.
Oh, no, not when I tell her.
Oh, you do not know women, Guapo.
Well, maybe not. Well,
Adios, Guapo.
Goodbye. Midnight.
And so closes The Black Path of Fear, starring Brian Dunleavy. Tonight's study in Suspense.
Wow, that's it. That's Suspense. You heard it here. That's from August 31st, 1944, The Black Path of Fear. That was originally sponsored by Roma Wines, as heard on CBS. A great cast in there. John McIntyre, Hans Conried, Joseph Kearns as the man in black there and the announcer. Lorene Tuttle, Wally Mayer, Joseph Kearns. And it was produced and directed by William Spear. Hope you enjoyed Suspense. We have more Brian Dunleavy radio shows for you this evening and into the wee hours of the morning. We're going to be tuning into Dangerous Assignment next, and then he guests on the Burns and Allen Show. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride. Let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. All All right, 12:07 on a Monday morning. This is the WGN Radio Theater. This is hour two, and we're here for 3 hours, Lisa.
That's right.
So we're just starting our second hour.
Is that right?
See how I deducted that?
No.
Deduced it?
Yeah, you're good. You are good.
It's like a detective.
Oh,
he
yeah.
deduces things.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, higher math.
I have a frog in my throat.
Ribbit, ribbit, frog?
Kermit.
Like that
I
kind of frog?
I think it's Kermit the frog.
I yeah, think maybe you
there.
Just talk too much.
Yeah, it could be.
You know,
could
just
be.
A thought.
Could be. Well, you know what? We did this once before. I'm just not going to talk the rest
you,
of the
you
show.
You said that once?
You do the show.
You can't stand it.
You go right ahead.
You can't stand it.
I'm not going to say another word.
Nothing?
You go right ahead and do the show.
All right.
Not another word
well,
I'm not going to say.
Well, all right. We're going to start with a little cat's pride here.
Well, I have to tell people what they're gonna
going
hear
to.
In this hour.
Go ahead.
What are they going to hear this hour?
Well,
dangerous assignment.
Well, okay, it's
dangerous
a little
assignment, and then in our third hour, the Burns and Allen show.
Right.
All of this is brought to you in part by.
You can't not say it.
Who's it brought to you?
Oh,
in part
come
by?
On, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the TV series The Art of More, which exposes the crime behind the glamorous facade of New York auction houses. And the winner of this contest will get a $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nottis.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actor talking with Ellen Barkin's character in 1986's The Big Easy.
Why'd you withhold this information from the police, huh?
The police are the suspects.
Ah.
Ooh.
Just gave you a little tiny bit. Just gave you a little tiny bit of that actor.
Right, and just so you know, if you've won a prize on our show in the last 60 days, give somebody else a chance. You're not eligible, but other than that, we hope you'll call in 981-7200.
Yeah, and the 312 before that, though.
Yeah, 312 area code.
312-981-7200.
That's the one.
All right, we'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl and Lisa and Elif. This is show 90. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
Why'd you withhold this information from the police, huh?
The police are the suspects.
And we have George with us tonight. Hey, George.
Hi. Great show.
Thank
How are you,
you.
Doing?
Thank
George.
You. We're so happy that you got through, and we're hoping that you can recognize that celebrity's voice.
Great actor, Dennis Quaid.
You are right. I met him a few years back, and you are a winner. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah.
You've won a $25 gift certificate for Lumel Nottis. I hope you can have a great pizza on us. Oh. I love pizza. I hope you love pizza.
I do. Thank you so much.
Good. You can check them out online at lumelnottis.com. Thanks a lot, George. We are glad that you appreciate the show.
Thanks, George. Thank appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So George is a winner. He won a pizza.
Yeah,
you met Dennis Quaid where?
I did. I was on the set of a movie. I was a stand-in for, I know it will sound ridiculous now, I can't even remember who I was standing for. Heather Locklear
oh,
or something. What
Heather
movie?
Locklear?
No, not Heather Locklear. Wait,
no,
who
you know,
was I? No, no.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait,
you just,
that's wrong. That's
did,
wrong. Not
did
Heather
I ever
Locklear.
Tell you my Heather Locklear story?
Wait, I don't know why. What, baby something or another?
I don't know.
What movie was he in?
I don't know.
I'm going to figure it out, and I'll let you know at the next break.
One day when we have more time, I'm going to tell you my Heather Locklear story.
Do I want to
hear
her.
I met her, and it was quite an interesting meet and greet. But I don't have time right now to tell you about it.
No.
I'll do it on
no
the
time.
Air another time.
Okay, great.
All right, so it's time now for Dangerous Assignment, and this series was a spy drama series. Brian Donlevy starred as U.S. secret agent Steve Mitchell, and he was sent to exotic foreign locations to troubleshoot for the United States government. It came to NBC Radio in 1949, lasted until 1953. Herb Butterfield played the commissioner. He was who briefed Mitchell on his dangerous assignments. It transitioned to syndicated television in the 1950s with 39 episodes. And Brian Donlevy not only starred in that, he produced it as well. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to 1949, July 9th to be exact. This is actually the first show in the series, Lisa. What do you think of that?
The
very
like that.
First show in the series. And William Conrad is in the supporting cast. Let's tune this in. It's called Relief Supplies. Here's part one of Dangerous Assignment.
Baghdad. Singapore.
the places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you will find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment. The National Broadcasting Company presents the first in an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Steve. You're going to run this pretty little boat right onto the rocks if you don't put your hands on the wheel.
Automatic pilot.
W5WRS calling W2BYR.
I should have known you'd have one of those on your boat.
So help me. First time in my life I've ever used it, Evelyn.
Eloise.
Hello, sure, sure.
W5WRS calling W2BYR.
Steve. Why don't you turn that radio off?
I never should have turned it on.
What's all that W stuff? Who's that silly woman trying to get, anyway?
Oh,
W5WRS calling W2BYR.
That's the ship-to-shore operator.
Brother, you know them all. What does she want with you?
I'm afraid I know. Well, I guess I better answer before they send the Coast Guard. W5WRS from W2BYR. Go ahead.
Stand by, W2BYR. I have a call for you. Go ahead.
This is Ruth, Steve. The commissioner wants to see you right away. Over.
Now look, Ruth. I said only call me in an emergency. Over.
The commissioner says this is an emergency. Over.
But I'm in the middle of a big deal, Ruth. I'm tied up. Over.
Just a minute, Steve. He says untie her and get into the office.
But tell him... Oh, okay. I'll come back. Out. Eloise, I'm afraid
you... And for this, I broke another day.
Now, look, Eloise, I'm sorry.
So what do? I go out and buy a new sunsuit.
And
I...
it's a very nice sunsuit.
I even fry some chicken. For the first time in my life, I fry some chicken.
But this probably won't take long.
And what am I supposed to do in the meantime? And what am I going to do with all that fried chicken?
Well, keep it on ice for me, huh? Hello, Commissioner.
Steve, I trust you concluded your big deal satisfactorily. Steve, ever hear of the Thropp Foundation?
Thropp Foundation? Sure. That's the private charity that's been sending a lot of relief shipments to Europe.
Right. They've done quite a job over there. Tons of food and medical supplies.
Yeah, that's the outfit. What about them?
Their last three shipments to Sicily have been stolen.
Oh? You mean off the boat?
No, from the Foundation's warehouse in Messina, Sicily.
I see.
We've been instructed to get to the bottom of it. As usual, you'll pose as a foreign correspondent. Ruth has your credentials in order.
Okay.
On the surface, your assignment will be to write a story about the stolen shipments. Actually, I want you to find out who's been stealing those shipments. And to be frank, Steve, I'm sending you into a pretty nasty situation over there.
What do you mean?
The Thropp Foundation has had two men working on this case. One of them has been missing for 2 weeks.
Mm. What about the other one?
Oh, they found him all right. His throat had been cut.
Well, that's reassuring.
We're sending you because we think you can take care of yourself and handle the danger.
When do you want me to leave?
Good. As soon as possible. Now, if you need help or information once you get to Sicily, contact Emilio Donati in Messina.
Who's Emilio Donati?
He runs a bar in Messina. We think he's a friend of ours.
Okay.
There's just one more thing I should warn you about, Steve.
You know, you're making this assignment sound real attractive, Commissioner. What is it?
I guess you've heard of the Sicilian bandit they call Lorenzo.
Yeah, who hasn't? He's got the whole countryside terrorized.
Steve, I don't know whether he has anything to do with all this or not, but if he has... Now, watch yourself.
Yep. Looks like I got a real honey this time.
You did. But it's vital to us that those relief shipments get through. Trouble usually starts from empty stomachs.
Yeah.
That's all. You've got your assignment, Steve. Your plane leaves in 2 hours. Good luck.
Eduardo, this is Dino speaking. The American just landed. See. Report it to the chief at once.
As
Senor, a taxi, eh? You want a taxi, senor?
Yeah. Hey, look, driver, you know your way around Messina pretty well, huh?
Mas, you. I live here most of my life, senor. At the age of 3, I was brought here from Palermo. So I know every house, every street, every building, every bar.
Yeah. Okay, so you know your city. Now, take me to the Throp Foundation Warehouse.
Again?
Throp Foundation Warehouse. You know where it is?
Throp?
No, Throp. It's a... Ah, well, never mind. Just take me to the Rienzi Hotel. I'm sure you must have heard of that.
Why, sure. I'm going to put your baggage in the car, senor.
Hello. Sorry I'm late.
Hmm? You're not late. You're just in time.
I heard you inquiring for the Throp Foundation, so you must be Ralph Gillette. I'm Helen Collier. I was supposed to meet you here at the airport, and I...
Look, I'm afraid there's been a mistake. My name's not Gillette. It's Mitchell. Steve Mitchell.
I thought you were the one I was supposed to meet. I'm sorry.
Believe me, I'm sorry, too. Couldn't we just pretend I was?
I'm afraid Mr. Archer wouldn't understand.
Already I don't like Mr. Archer. Don't even know him. Who is he?
My boss. He's in charge of the foundation's office here in Messina.
Well, wait a minute. You worked for the Throp Foundation?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Archer's been expecting a new man to fly down from Rome, Mr. Gillette. I thought you were he.
I wonder if you'd tell me where the foundation office is. I'm a foreign correspondent, and I'd like an interview with your boss.
Oh, well, I could go with you and show you where it is, because it doesn't look like Mr. Gillette is on the plane anyway.
Fine. I have a cab over here.
You say you're a foreign correspondent. I suppose you want to do a story on the stolen relief shipments.
Yep.
Well, good luck. Mr. Archer doesn't want any publicity about it. Thinks it would have an adverse effect on donations from the States.
Oh, well, here we are. Pardon us, gentlemen.
Si, senor. Eduardo, out of the man's way.
Of course, your pardon, senor.
Well, I'll see if I can get some kind of a statement from him. Are there just the two of you in the Messina office?
Yes, right now. There were three of us. Paul Wainwright was the third, but he got fired a few days ago.
At the Hotel Rienzi, no?
No. Throp Foundation.
Tropa?
Tropa? Oh, Via Delgada.
Oh, si, senorina.
Hey, you must have the magic touch. This Paul Wainwright, he was fired by Mr. Archer?
Yes, 3 days ago.
Senor, you ready, huh?
Si.
Did you hear what the senorina told the driver?
Si, Eduardo. Via Delgada. That is the address of the Throp Foundation. I will report it. You follow the American.
Mr. Mitchell, you must understand my position. It's not that I don't want to cooperate with you and your press association, but at the same...
The stolen shipments are news, Mr. Archer, and news is my job.
Well, I know all that, but just stop and think what's going to happen if the news spreads around back in the States. Our donations would probably stop coming in. We think it's vital that these shipments continue.
I see. Well, in that case, could you give me an off-the-record statement about it?
I might if I were sure it would be treated as such.
I'll make a deal with you. We won't break the story unless or until the thieves are rounded up.
Well, all right. I guess that's fair enough.
There have been 3 shipments stolen, right?
Yes, from our warehouse. It's right downstairs.
Yes, I noticed it as I came up. Did you have anyone guarding the shipments?
Of course. We kept doubling the guard, but each time they were overpowered.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the thieves have a pretty large outfit.
Yes, apparently they do.
I suppose you've heard of the bandit they call Lorenzo.
Oh, certainly. Everybody in Sicily's heard of him. He's got the whole country terrorized.
He's supposed to have a hideout up in the mountains.
I know what you're thinking, Mr. Mitchell. That Lorenzo's men could have stolen the shipments. I thought of that right away myself.
Well, it's possible, isn't it?
Yes, it's possible. Personally, I don't think Lorenzo had anything to do with it. With Lorenzo's reputation what it is, it would be relatively easy for someone else to make it look as if Lorenzo had done it.
That's an interesting thought. Incidentally, you fired one of your men a few days ago, didn't you? Paul Wainwright?
That is something that I'd rather not discuss.
Oh?
Of course, I don't want to persecute the man just because some of his actions appeared vaguely suspicious to me. I have no proof of anything at all.
I see. Well, thanks for the information. I'll see you later.
Ha, ha, ha.
You wish a table, senor?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Where is
it? Right here.
Thanks.
I am Carlotta. What will you have?
Beer.
But it is after dark. It's time to drink wine.
Emily Post may not like it, but I still want beer.
Anything you wish. I will bring it.
Look, is the boss in, Carlotta?
Emilio Donati. See, he's here. Why?
I like the scenery. I might set up a charge account. Where is he?
The fat one. Over at the bar. I will tell him to come over.
No, never mind. I'll go over there.
See, I'm coming.
Emilio Donati?
So I'm called, signor.
I told a friend of mine in the States I'd say hello to you.
So? I know many people in the States, signor.
I'm pretty sure you'll know my friend, the commissioner.
Commissioner?
Yeah. I think you're expecting me. I'm Steve Mitchell.
A name can be used by anyone, signor.
Here. You recognize the handwriting?
Si. You are Steve Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can I help?
I'm working on the theft of the relief shipments.
Yeah, I thought that would be it. That's a very bad thing, Steve. There are so many people are hungry here in Sicily.
Yeah. Look, a fellow named Paul Wainwright was fired from the Throp Foundation a few days ago, and Archer acts like he thinks Wainwright's involved in the theft.
Paul Wainwright. I know who he is.
I'd like to talk to him. Can you arrange it?
Si. In an hour or two, I will send the word for him to come to the back room of my bar off the alley. We can talk to him there.
All right, Lisa, there is the first portion of Dangerous Assignment, the very first episode in the series called Relief Supplies. Brian Donlevy stars as Secret Agent Steve Mitchell on this show. You enjoying it?
Yeah, and I think it's important to be first. I was going to just
the very first episode.
Being first is very good.
First is good. And a good cast in this. I think that was Alan Reed playing. Alan Reed was Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, of course.
In the cartoons. I think that was Alan Reed doing that Italian impersonation there. He was doing like a, because I can't, it doesn't say he's in the cast, but I'm pretty sure that's who that was. I could
see,
be wrong.
It didn't sound like him to me because when
be
he speaks, I always know it's Fred. He is Fred.
I think it was him.
Really?
All right. I could be wrong, though. I was wrong once in 1977.
Once or
I have
just
a good
once.
Streak going.
Oh,
but,
yeah. You're the best.
Yeah. All right. So we're tuning into a salute to Brian Donlevy. We have the conclusion to that in a little bit here. And
Carl's
then,
getting punchy.
And then in our third hour, well, I'm on like 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
And in the third hour, we're going to tune into the George Burns and Gracie Allen show from January of 1943. Special guest Brian Donlevy on that. I think you're going to enjoy that. Sponsored by Swan Soap. I don't think Swan Soap's around anymore. We've talked about
maybe
this.
Maybe you should find some Swan Soap.
Find some Swan.
Swan some
Soap.
Swan.
So we're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. Every Saturday and Sunday, your weekends are filled with classic radio, thanks to Lisa and Elif and Shane and the WGN Radio Theater.
And you.
Yeah, I'm part of it.
I think it's important for you to tell people what time you get to the radio station. Not only that we begin at 11, but what time you arrive.
I get here at 10.
And it's important information.
I get here at 10 and I kind of just get, get ready.
No, I don't know. What do you
do? Prep for it. Get a drink of water.
Get in the right mindset.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we're playing these classic radio shows. You don't want to rush in and just jump on the air. You want to, right?
Right.
Okay.
Take your
I'm
time.
I'm glad we're both on the same page
oh,
with that.
Oh, yeah. Take it slow.
All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater, 12:34 on a Monday morning. Thanks for being with us out there in Radio Land. We're broadcasting across the country, like 40-plus states plus parts of Canada, tuning in here to the WGN Radio Theater. We're broadcasting from the All-State Studio right here in the on Michigan Avenue in the Showcase Studio. Lisa looks very awake. You look very vibrant and awake, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm the awake one.
Did you have
of
some
the group.
What did you have?
I had some Hershey's chocolate.
You look very hopped up. You look pretty peppy.
Olive didn't want the chocolate, so I had to eat it.
I had a Twix.
Twix will do it for you.
I have a sugar high as well.
Yeah? Got a sugar thing going on in there?
Yeah.
Very sweet. Does that deserve one of these? No, probably not. It wasn't good enough for that.
No.
All right, I'll take that back then. All right, we're tuning in to Dangerous Assignment. And this is a broadcast from July 9th, 1949. Did you point at something?
I want to let everybody know if they want to text in. It's the same as our call-in number, 312-981-7200. We love to hear from you.
Yeah, text us and let us know what you think and what shows you want to hear and all that good stuff. All right, let's tune into the conclusion now of Dangerous Assignment.
11:15. Wainwright ought to be showing up pretty soon, hadn't he?
See. He should have been here by now, Steve.
There's another lead I want to run down, too, Emilio.
Hmm?
Do you have any idea where the bandit Lorenzo's headquarters are?
See, in the mountains to the west over here.
Think you could furnish me a guide?
A guide?
Yeah, just to get me into the general area. After that, I'll go it alone and do a little reconnoitering undercover.
Steve, you must not try a thing like that.
Look, it's the quickest way of proving whether Lorenzo's involved in these thefts or not. If he is, he's probably got a lot of the supplies hidden way in those mountains.
His men would capture you. He has lookouts all over the mountains. Well, just last month, an entire division went up there and...
Sure. That's the point. There were so many Lorenzo's men spotted them easy. But one man alone in the brush could be hard to find.
Steve, Lorenzo has a small army of cutthroats up there. They are fanatically loyal to him.
Could you get me a guide?
Look, the danger. You must realize the danger.
Yeah. Lorenzo isn't stupid enough to kill an American correspondent.
Uh-huh. That must be Paul Wainwright. Oh, come in, Senor Wainwright.
No, thanks. Look, Donati, and you too, whatever your name is. This is a waste of time. We've got nothing to talk about. Oh!
Wainwright.
Knife in the back. Emilio, get out of the light. Get down. Someone's running down the alley.
Don't follow him, Steve.
Huh?
It may be a trap. There may be others waiting in the dark.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Wainwright, see?
He's dead, Steve. Now perhaps you realize that there's a real danger here for you. They know you are not a correspondent. Do you still wish a guide?
I'll be waiting in room 23, Rienze Hotel.
All right. I will send a man over.
Signor Mitchell?
Yeah, who are you?
Casella.
Casella? That's supposed to mean something to me?
Emilio Donati sent me to you.
Oh, you're the guide.
Si, signor. I am to conduct you to the mountain where Lorenzo and his band are hiding.
Oh, Emilio didn't lose any time, did he?
It was thought best to travel at night, so that we may be in the mountains before the sun comes up.
Yeah, I guess that would be best.
We will drive to the foot of the mountains by car. Then we'll use horses on the trails. It is all arranged.
Good. When do you want to start?
As soon as possible.
Okay, let's go. Hey, pretty narrow trail up here, Casella.
Si, senor.
About time for sunrise, isn't it?
But a few more minutes and it will be light.
You say, you think Lorenzo's hiding out somewhere on that mountain up there ahead of us?
Si, that is what I have heard.
Okay, let's stop here a minute. I'll go it alone from here, Casella. There's no point in your going any farther. Thanks very much.
Si, signor. You're right. There is no point in going any farther. Put your hands in front of you.
What?
Do as I say, signor. I am going to tie your hands.
Look, what is this anyway? Hey, wait a minute. You're one of Lorenzo's men.
So true, signor. It will do you no good to resist. Do not try to escape. There's a man blocking your trail. See? He has a gun.
Okay, I'll try it through you.
Stop.
Come on.
Stop.
I'm coming through.
Eduardo, quick. Come and help me. Eduardo, help.
Okay, Casella. That's for the double cross, bub.
Senor, I have a gun. I said stop.
Okay. Looks like you win.
Good. Now I tie you. Hold your hands up.
Okay. Here's one of them.
All right, senor. I will use the gun. This way. So, Senor Mitchell. Casella, are you all right?
See, I think so. Except my nose. It is bleeding.
Fool,
You deserve it. Come, we'll take the American to Lorenzo.
He's coming to Eduardo. Hotel Lorenzo.
Si.
Casella.
Si, Casella. This is for the bloody nose you gave me, senor.
Well, thanks. Looks like I got taken for the well-known ride. I thought Emilio Donato was a friend.
Sometimes it is difficult to know who your friends are.
You're so right.
Here is Lorenzo now.
Well, Signor Mitchell, you're feeling better now, huh?
Not much.
Welcome to my camp.
Thanks. So you're Lorenzo.
Si, I have that honor.
Honor?
Of course.
Where are we?
Walk with me and I will show you. As you see, you're on top of a mountain. This is my headquarters.
Hey, you can see 100 miles from here.
Si, this is why I choose this place.
But where are the guards?
Guards? You are not my prisoner, you are my guest. But see, below us, my men are camped there. Is it not a reassuring sight?
Hey, that looks like a small army.
120 patriots.
Patriots, you call them?
Of course, they serve Lorenzo.
Got a pretty good opinion of yourself, huh?
I am one of the most brilliant men I have ever met.
Really? You know, you don't talk like you've spent your whole life in these mountains.
Oh, I have, as you say, been around. I attended a university in Italy for 2 years.
But you came back to this. How come?
A sense of duty, senor. I rob the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah? That sounds pretty, Lorenzo. But are you sure it's not just because you're a thief at heart?
You are shrewd, senor. Well, why not? From my experience in the world, I have learned that one must look out for oneself.
Oh?
Consider the recent war. Nobody won it. Consider the peace. Again, nobody wins it. Everyone quarrels and fights. Now, is it not much more clever to take what one wants, to be concerned only with oneself?
You know, your kind of thinking isn't helping things any.
Perhaps not, but it is profitable to me. Senor, this conversation is pleasant, but I still do not understand why you were so anxious to spy on my camp.
No? You ever hear of the Thropp Foundation?
No. What is it, senor?
A relief outfit that's been shipping food and medical supplies here to Sicily.
Oh? Does this concern me?
That's what I'm wondering. At least 3 shipments have been stolen from a warehouse in Messina.
And of course you think that I stole them.
It's a pretty good bet.
Well, I am sorry to disappoint you, senor, but as you see, there are no supplies here. Look around you. I have nothing to hide.
No?
It is my fate, senor. Whenever a crime is committed in Sicily, I am immediately accused. I suppose I should feel flattered. It has often occurred to me that the police must find me very convenient.
How so?
It would be most embarrassing for them if I were captured. Then they would have no one to blame for all their unsolved crimes. Well, I'm sorry you made this trip for nothing, senor.
Well, if you've got nothing to hide, how come you went to so much trouble to capture me?
I was told you wanted to see Lorenzo, so I thought I would make it easy. You were very rough with my men, senor. But no matter. We will be friends. And you will go back to America and tell everyone what a gracious host is Lorenzo.
Huh? Oh, you want a press agent, huh? Hey, wait a minute.
Then?
That girl coming up the trail, she looks awfully familiar.
Oh, her name is Carlotta.
Yeah, now I recognize her. She works at Emilio Donati's bar.
See?
Everything's starting to add up.
I am afraid Carlotta is not very happy with me at present.
No?
She has been very useful to me in the past, but she is so possessive. She is very upset to learn that there had been another woman here. There, you see how she sulks? I believe she thinks that she is punishing me. Ah, Carlotta, my dear.
Do not speak to me, Lorenzo. Do not speak to me.
You climbed up here to tell me that.
I am true with you. You have not been true to me.
Oh, you are not very flattering, my dear. Of course I have not been true to you. That would be to deprive others.
Oh, so good for nothing, you.
I think I'd better leave you here to take out your temper on the American. I have other affairs to look after.
The beast. I lie for him. I steal for him.
Maybe you ought to pick your friends a little more carefully. So, you're the one that put the bee on me at Donati's, huh? You had Lorenzo send that phony guide to my room.
Treat me that this way after all I do for him. Oh, the beast. I do not think you would treat me that way.
Huh?
I think if you were my friend, you would treat me nice.
Now, look.
Would you like to be Carlotta's friend?
It's okay with me if you're trying to make Lorenzo jealous, but use somebody else.
Kiss me.
Hey, cut it out.
Come on, kiss me.
Hey.
You like it, huh?
Well, under other circumstances, maybe. Right now, no.
You should not have done that, Carlotta.
Lorenzo,
perhaps
look.
That will show you cannot treat me as you have. If you do not want me, there are others who do.
You are such a child, Carlotta. I am afraid this presents a problem.
Look, there's no problem. I've got no interest in Carlotta, believe me.
Oh, I'm aware of that. But some of my men there below may have seen her kiss you, senor, and that is the problem. I must not allow anything to shake their confidence in me. The appearance is everything. No, it is not Carlotta I am thinking about. She is nothing.
Oh, dog, that you should talk about me like that. What if I were to tell the American about...
Shut up, Carlotta.
Wait a minute. What did you say, Carlotta?
Then you would wish you had not treated me that way.
I told you to keep your mouth shut.
I will tell.
Carlotta!
On the other side of the mountain is a cave. Lorenzo has hidden the relief shipments there.
Oh, well, Lorenzo, so you've got nothing to hide.
Now, indeed, I have no choice, senor. Carlotta, give me your scarf.
You're going to fight with the knives over me.
Fool, to think it is you I am considering.
Hey, look, now let's consider me for a minute.
I did not intend to kill you, senor, but as you see now, I must. Here, take this knife.
Now, wait a minute.
Put the end of this scarf between your teeth.
Huh?
There, as I do the other end.
Well,
so, now we circle slowly.
Hey, look, let's cut out this foolishness, will you?
Do not hold the knife that way.
Huh?
Use the underhand grip. Do you know nothing at all about knife fighting?
As much as I want to know. Now, for the last time.
I am sorry. Defend yourself.
Okay, you ask for it.
You twist the knife from my hand.
Yeah. You may know knife fighting, but you're pretty sad on judo.
Oh, Lorenzo! You've killed Lorenzo!
Just a rabbit punch, lady. Won't even leave a scar. So long.
Dog of a dog! Oh, God. Carissimo.
Oh.
He has killed you. Oh, Lorenzo. Lorenzo.
Will you stop that silly babbling?
Lorenzo. You are all right.
See, except the back of my neck.
I will tell your men to go after him.
No, this is a personal matter. They might find it hard to understand how the American escaped from me. I will go after him alone.
I will go with you.
You will wait here, Carlotta. I will attend to you when I return.
Lorenzo.
I may be gone until dark, because if I do not find the American, then there is someone in Messina I must talk to. Now get me my horse.
My wind is shot. Maybe it's the altitude. Whew. Hey, a horse. Ahead of me somewhere. I better play it safe.
Hey.
Donati!
What?
Over here, Emilio.
Steve Mitchell, you are safe.
Yeah.
I sent a guide for your room the first thing this morning. He said you were gone.
Yeah, one of Lorenzo's men got there first. Your waiter, Carlotta, tipped him off about me.
Carlotta?
Yeah. Think that horse of yours can carry both of us?
Lorenzo's men, they will be after you.
Yeah, that's a good reason for not hanging around here any longer.
All right, come. I will help you up in it.
Wait, listen. That horse is coming.
Come on, get your horse into the brush here. Cover up his nose so he won't whinny.
Steve.
Huh?
It's Lorenzo. He's alone.
Yeah, heading towards Messina, too.
Look, I have a gun. We can capture him.
No, not yet, Emilio. Come on, we'll give him the lead, then follow him into Messina. It's possible he's got more on his mind than just finding me. If so, I want to know what it is.
Lorenzo.
Senor Arch.
Why, you fool, coming here to the Foundation office. My secretary will be back any minute.
The American escaped.
What? How could he?
We will not go into that.
Oh, you stupid fool, you've ruined everything. Mitchell must know all about the stolen shipments now.
See, he knows I stole them, but he does not know that you are involved, Archer.
He might as well. We're through now, Lorenzo. Through. And all because of your stupidity.
Do not talk that way to me, Archer.
I'd planned it so well. Even when Paul Wainwright became suspicious, I fired him. Then I had his mouth shut permanently. And now you've ruined it, you blundering half-breed.
You keep your mouth shut. This will help you.
All Lorenzo, I'll kill you. This gun is quicker than your knife.
Well, Lorenzo and Archer. The Gold Dust twins.
Mitchell.
Very neat. So you two did work it together, huh?
You're wrong, Mitchell. I've just captured a notorious bandit.
What? Why, you lying dog. It was you who raised me.
Get back.
Get back, Mitchell.
Give me that.
That gun's safer with me, Archer.
You've got nothing on me.
You mean because Lorenzo can't talk?
If you want to put it that way.
There's one witness you overlooked, Archer.
Carlotta.
Yeah. When she finds out you killed Lorenzo, she'll sing plenty, and it's a song you're not going to like.
Well, did you send your report to the commissioner, Steve?
Yeah, I called him. He said the Thropp Foundation had sent a new man over to head up the office here.
Well, and now you can relax for a few days. We're going to eat and drink and have a good time. You will have such a food as you never tasted. Scaloppini, escarole, a pizza. Pizza. That melts in your mouth.
That sounds fine, Emilio, but I think I'll be heading back to the States.
Now, what's the hurry?
Well, someone back there is keeping some fried chicken on ice for me.
But fried chicken?
Yeah. It's got to be eaten on a boat, too.
Steve, I don't understand. What is so special about the eating of fried chicken on a boat?
Well, you see, she's not the chicken. That is, I... Oh, well, just take my word for it, huh? So long, Emilio.
You have just heard the first in an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy and written by Bob Reif. This program was directed by Bill Karn with music by Bruce Ashley. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, as Steve Mitchell, embarks on another dangerous assignment. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is Dangerous Assignment from July 9th, 1949, with the Relief Supplies, the very first episode in the Dangerous Assignment series starring Brian Donlevy. And we are saluting Brian Donlevy on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. We still have another episode with Brian Donlevy. He's a star, guest star, on the Burns and Allen Show. That's coming up in our next hour. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, hour three of the WGN Radio Theater, 1:05 in the morning here Monday morning. Good to see you, Lisa Wolf.
I'm still here, Carl.
Look at
Laurie.
Those dimples, boy.
I don't see anything
those are
anymore.
Some big dimples.
Really?
And they get bigger when you smile.
Oh, I'll have to stop smiling.
Yeah.
I'll have to
I'll
make
tell
a
you
long
what.
Face.
I wonder if I talked into them if there would be an echo. You think there would be?
Are they gone?
Yeah, now they're gone.
Good.
So yeah,
Alisa, they're my trademark, Carl.
They are. And Elif, do you have? Let me see. Do you smile? Do you have dimples?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got dimples too.
See,
I'm the only one here without dimples.
Let's see. That's because you don't smile, so it's hard to know.
I know. Yeah. No, I smile. I smiled once in 19.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
I'm going to watch. 19 something. In 19.
So this hour we're going to have the Burns and Allen Show. I think you're going to like that a lot. And what else? Oh, we're going to give away some... What is it? Batsui? What is that thing?
We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Batsu.
Oh, Batsu.
It's at Old Town's Kamahachi Restaurant.
I think they should change the name to Batsui. I think that would be better.
What is that thing?
Yeah, what is that thing again? Batsu?
Batsu.
It's like a dinner hibachi
show. It's a comedic and interactive game show. It's surprises, nonstop laughs. It's not your ordinary dinner theater.
I think the three of us should go. Me, you, and Elif. We should go to it and check it out. That way we can talk, more intelligently about it. Should we do that?
Yeah.
All right. When are we going to do that?
All right. We'll talk about that.
I think we should check it out. All right, so that's what you can win if you know this. Well, let's do the jingle first of all. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series Trial as a once-respected lawyer who accepts a wrongful death case that pits him against his former law firm. Why are you laughing at me?
Nothing.
Okay, good. And
sounded like you were talking like this.
No, I was not talking like that.
Do you have a lifesaver in your mouth?
Nope. Got nothing in there.
Nothing in
and
there.
And if you know the answer, you can win a pair of tickets to see Batsu. It's playing right now at Old Town Kamahachi Restaurant. It's a dinner theater, but it's comedic. It's an interactive game show.
Do you know why they have holes in lifesavers? Did you know why? Do you know why, Elif, why they have holes in lifesavers? Because kids used to get them stuck in their throat and it when they didn't have the holes and they couldn't breathe, so they put a hole in the middle of them. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, so it's
I could
for,
be wrong,
for a but, breathing hole.
Yeah.
I was going to say it's so your tongue can breathe.
No, it's so you can breathe. Yeah, so if it got stuck in your throat, it would have a little, it has a little hole. That's why they call it light, and they look like lifesavers. You know, throw a lifesaver out there.
Yeah, I think you just made that
No,
up.
I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure. And do you know what they call the hole in the middle of a donut? No, wait, hang on, I said it wrong. Do you know what they call the hole in the middle of a shebang donut?
No.
The whole shebang. There you go. I got one out. I got a joke out there. thanks for humoring me. I appreciate that.
Literally.
You know, the little things make me happy. Just my,
I
have
smiling?
Like three jokes. I like to tell my three jokes.
If Roger were here,
he would be
rolling his eyes right along
like,
with me.
Oh,
we miss Roger, and we know that his dad had passed away, and hopefully he'll be back with us soon.
Yeah.
And we send our love to Roger.
Yep, and our condolences. All right, so we are giving away this Batsu
B-A-T-S-U.
Tickets, and the number to call 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Sling Blade.
You're just a boy. You need to think about good thoughts while you're still a boy. Hey, plenty of time for all the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity. Win tickets to Batsu. We'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip one more time.
You're just a boy. You need to think about good thoughts while you're still a boy. Hey, plenty of time for all the other. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've got Brad on the line from Palatine. Hi, Brad.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Likewise.
So who is that guy?
That's Billy Bob Thornton.
You are right, Bob. You're a winner. Do you like the theater?
You called him Bob. His name is
Brad. Oh, I meant Bob. I'm sorry. I said Billy Bob, and then I didn't say Brad. I'm sorry. I know you're not Billy Bob.
Yeah, I do.
Brad, we'd love to give you a pair of tickets to see Batsu. And, of course, I hope that you haven't won a prize on the WGN Radio Theater in the last 60 days.
No.
Excellent. Then you are eligible.
And you're going to Batsu.
And you are going to Batsu. It's a comedic and interactive game show. It offers a full night of surprises and nonstop laughs. It's playing right now at the Old Town's Kamahachi Restaurant. And it's a dinner theater. And it's actually been running in New York for about 6 years. And there's a whole cult following behind it. So I hope that you see the show.
Did anyone catch it?
The cult
running.
Yeah, that's running, and Brad's going to catch it. And I hope you let us know why it has such a cult following. Let us know what's
fantastic. Let us know what you think of it, Brad.
I just said that, Carl.
Will do.
Thank you, Brad.
Lisa monopolizes this segment, Brad. She doesn't let me talk to the listeners.
Carl, don't you think he talks too much?
Yeah, a little bit.
He's laughing.
Brad.
He's just trying to be
nice. I want
to
thank Brad, though, for staying up late and listening to the show and calling in and winning.
I'm staying up late.
Yeah, well, you get paid to do this.
Not much, just saying.
Thanks, Brad. Really appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right, Lisa Wolf.
Okay, Carl.
I can talk to the listeners. They're my listeners, too.
You can't really.
No?
No.
Why not? She monopolizes
you
this,
can tech,
this
they can,
whole
you can,
segment.
You can go to Facebook or something and talk to him. Carl's not Facebook
You know, this is a
oriented.
We're a team.
Oh,
me,
yeah.
You, and Elif, we're a team.
Yes, we
These
are.
These are our listeners.
Yes, they are.
On the WGN Radio Theater.
You are right about that.
And you called Brad Bob.
But I meant, I was,
I wanted,
you know,
to correct you.
I got confused between Brad and Billy Bob. I thought they were like the same person.
Did you see Billy Bob Thornton in Fargo, the first season?
I sure did.
Oh, my gosh. And I think they're coming out with a third season. So
I was just about to say that.
The first season had Billy Bob Thornton, and I know he won like best actor or best supporting actor for it. It was amazing. Folks, if you've not seen the television series Fargo.
Well, why didn't you do a clip from that?
Well, I just didn't. I did the Sling Blade.
I know. I'm just asking.
Because I think he's best known as this guy, you know, Carl. His name was Carl, you know.
I thought you were the only Carl in life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That sounded a little like Matthew McConaughey when he did that. Mm-hmm.
You're just a boy. You shouldn't be thinking about those things. You're just a boy.
Yeah, you sound just like him.
Yeah, I know. Just exactly.
You look like him, too.
I know, I look like him.
I get you too confused sometimes.
That movie... If you've not seen Sling Blade...
Why are you hitting your pen at me when you talk?
Elif, have you seen the movie Sling Blade?
No.
Okay, I'm just telling you right now, that is a movie you need to see. That's an unbelievable movie. And I got to tell you, John Ritter is unbelievable in that movie, right?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, Lisa?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Carl.
All right. So anyway, check it out. And also check out
Put your pen down. You're
Fargo.
Making me nervous.
I'm just pointing with the pen.
I know.
Man, I tell you, I'm going to get an award one of these days.
Really?
I'm going to get an award.
What for?
For putting up with you. I'm guessing he's going to say.
This is what I'm talking about.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. When you get in those, are you sleepy or are you awake?
I'm actually not sleepy at all.
He's not sleepy.
I'm totally not sleepy.
All right. Well, we are listening to a salute to Brian Donlevy. We heard two radio shows with him already, Suspense and Dangerous Assignment. And now you're going to hear him as a special guest star on the Burns and Allen show. Let's go back to January 19th, 1943. Brian Donlevy on the Burns and Allen show.
Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap. Well, it's Tuesday night again, time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, their guest, Brian Donlevy, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now, meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, it's morning at the Burns home, a very special morning. And we find Gracie upstairs talking to her little duck, Herman, while she puts on her most charming and alluring negligee.
Well, Herman, do you know why Mama's getting all dressed up this morning?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's my wedding anniversary. It was on this day that I married your daddy, George. I could have married the banker's son, but I picked George instead. Oh, Herman. You mustn't feel that way. Daddy George is a wonderful man, and I love him better than anybody in the world. Oh, don't cry, baby. I mean, I love him better than anybody in the world that doesn't have feathers. Oh, Herman, I'll never forget my wedding day. I was all dressed in white and the organ was playing. Da 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 da. Oh, our wedding anniversaries are such fun. George always takes the package out of his pocket, and I always say, for me? And he always says, yes, darling. And I always say, I wonder what could be in it as I unwrap the perfume. Well, I better hurry down. George will be so thrilled when he sees my new negligee. Well, George, how do I look?
You better go and put some clothes on. You catch cold.
Well, George, don't you know what it means when a wife puts on her nicest negligee?
Yeah, too lazy to get dressed.
George Burns, do you know what day this is?
Sure, Tuesday.
Yes, but it's January 19th.
Oh, sure. Gosh, I'm getting absent-minded.
Oh, I knew you'd remember.
Of course. This is the day I go to the barbershop to get my scalp treatment.
Oh.
But, sweetheart, it's not that bad. I'm just a little thin on top. I've got plenty of hair left.
I don't care how much hair you've got left. You couldn't be any more of a beast if you were an ape.
Hey, what's going on here? What is it?
Oh, come in.
Darned if I know. She's all excited because I'm losing a little hair.
Now, Gracie, stop crying. What's the matter?
Oh, my husband doesn't love me anymore, Tootsie. My marriage is going on the rocks.
Oh, is that all? I thought someone had stolen all your butter.
But George forgot our wedding anniversary today.
Oh, that's nothing. Lots of husbands do that.
Well, Papa's never forgotten his anniversary. The minute he sneezes in the morning, he runs out and gets Mama a present.
The minute he sneezes?
Uh-huh. Their wedding anniversary falls on the same day his hay fever starts.
Oh, but you see, George hasn't anything to remind him, Gracie. He hasn't got hay fever.
I know. Isn't it awful?
Oh, George doesn't appreciate you. But just let some other man flirt with you and see how jealous he'll get. Gracie, that's an idea. I'll make him jealous.
Oh, but I couldn't flirt with another man, Tootsie. When I married George, I made up my mind that romance was over for me.
Now, look, Gracie, suppose I get a date and go out with you and George, and then my date will flirt with you.
Oh, but I don't want to even lead him on.
You don't have to. Any man who goes out with me always flirts with the other girl.
Well, I guess a double date would be all right. I'll try anything to make George love me again.
Good. Oh, look who's running up the walk. Just the man for my half, Bill Goodwin. Oh, but he won't go out with me.
Well, maybe I can fix it, Tootsie.
Hiya, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Hello, Tootsie.
Hello, Bill.
Tootsie, calm down. You get excited when you just hear a pair of pants.
Well, I tell you, I'm kind of out of breath from doing my road work. You see, I got the idea from my pal, Brian Donlevy. He lives just down the street. You know, Briny and I were in Wake Island together. I always call him Briny.
What does he call you?
Sam. He never can remember my name.
Gracie, ask about the date.
Oh, yes. Bill, would you like to have a blind date tonight?
No, I like him sober.
Oh, no. I don't mean that. This girl is crazy about you, Bill.
Well, is she beautiful?
She's friendly.
Is she beautiful?
Well, she's a good sport.
Gracie, is she beautiful?
She uses Swan soap.
My dream girl. Well, does she know that Swan is purer than the finest Castiles? Does she know that money can't buy a purer soap?
Oh, sure. She's very seductive.
Really? Well, does she know that Swan's great for washing the dishes because it suds faster than other white floating soaps? And with Swan in the dishpan, you don't have to worry about your hands. Because Swan is purer than the finest Castiles, it helps keep your hands lovely. That's why you should use it for every soap and water job. For instance, for washing your hankies, hose, and undies.
Bill, I wash my hankies, hose, and undies with Swan, and now they look beautiful.
Yeah, Tootsie, you ought to try it on your face, too. And remember this, Tootsie. Swan breaks in two with an easy twist of the wrist, so you can use half in the kitchen for dishes and cleaning, and the other half in the bathroom for your hands and face. Well, I better get on with my road work if I want to be like Brian Donlevy.
Oh, wait, Bill. How about that blind date?
Yeah.
Gracie, are her initials by any chance T. Sagwell?
Well, yes.
Well, forget it, Gracie. The date may be blind, but I'm not. Goodbye.
There goes our double date. All he's interested in is looking like Brian Donlevy. Gracie, Brian Donlevy.
Where?
I mean, he's just the man to make George jealous.
Oh, well, do you think
I
should?
Are you girls still in a huddle? What's so interesting?
Well, George, if a certain husband neglected a certain wife, do you think that certain wife should make that certain husband jealous so he'll sit up and take notice?
I certainly do. Is the wife pretty?
Oh, she's very pretty.
Well, bring her over. I'll make her jealous.
This is Paul White. Here's a song that was a big favorite in World War I. Now the six hits and a miss and the boys have dressed it up for our new army. See if you recognize it.
Oh, would you rather be a colonel with an eagle?
turtle on your shoulder or a private with a chicken on your knee.
Once I heard a father ask his soldier son,
"Son, why can't you advance like all the other boys have done? You've been a private mighty long. Come on now, tell me just what's wrong."
Then the soldier lad said, "Listen to me, Dad. I'd rather be a private than a colonel in the army.
A private has more fun when his work is done.
And when he goes on hikes, in every town he strikes, girls discover him and they smother him with things he likes. But girlies act so shy when Colonel passes by. He holds his head so high with dignity. So would you rather be a colonel with an eagle on your shoulder or a private with a chicken on your knee?"
Brian Donlevy's house must be right around here somewhere, Gracie.
Yes, Bill said. Oh, there it is, across the street. See, there's Mr. Donlevy in the yard skipping rope.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's got nothing on but his shorts. Isn't he gorgeous?
Well, I don't think he's as pretty as George. George has such nice, smooth arms. But look at those things on Mr. Donlevy. Those big bumps. I think they call them muscles.
Well, some people think they look nice on a man. Come on, let's make the date.
Oh, wait, Tootsie. You know, maybe it's my fault George doesn't love me anymore. Maybe I'm not as attractive as I used to be.
Oh, don't be silly. I'll bet if you went over and flirted with Brian Donlevy, you'd find out how attractive you are.
But, Tootsie, I'm married. And George is a very sweet husband. I'm sure if I'd met him sooner, he'd have given me the best years of his life.
But, Gracie, you'd be doing it for George's sake.
Well, all right. I'll go over and flirt with Brian Donlevy, but it's certainly an odd way to make a husband happy. Gee, I hope I'm still attractive.
Well, good luck, Gracie.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Aren't you Brian Donlevy?
Yep. What's the matter? You got something in your eye?
No, I'm winking at you. I'm a flirt.
Oh, my gosh. Was there anybody funnier than Gracie Allen? I mean, maybe Lucille Ball, yeah. But Gracie Allen, just hysterical.
She's
good writing on this, too. So cute on the radio. Really good writing. All right, we'll get back to this Burns and Allen show with special guest Brian Donlevy after the news. First, a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. Nope. We can go right to news. Oh, we can chat till it's time for news? I thought we had commercials. No? All right, we don't have any commercials, Lisa.
So what do you want to talk about?
Well, Carl? I would like to remind our listeners that we have a Facebook page for this show and a website.
So, we sure do.
So why don't you tell our listeners about it?
I'd be happy to. Facebook, WGN Radio Theater. We post our schedule on there each week. We also post pictures throughout the show of the actors during their voice performances. And sometimes just some silly pictures of Carl up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we also have a website, which is WGNRadioTheater.com. And we've got our podcast on there. Oh, no, that's not right. We go to WGN Radio for our podcast. What's on our website?
Well, you know, the good thing is that when we're done with the show here on Saturday and Sunday nights,
Elif posts it right away.
Shane and Elif post our podcast.
We go to WGNRadio.com, and you can check out our podcast within the hour of after this show ends. But back to our website.
Yeah, the website is WGNRadioTheater.com.
Right.
Yeah, go there. We post. And we've had some people saying, okay, when are you going to go back to the regular schedule of playing these shows? I think we have three or four more weeks where we have these
spotlights.
Salutes, and then we'll go back to the regularly scheduled programming.
We're trying to make everybody happy. Some people like it. Some people prefer the other way.
Yeah,
and
we're going back to
that.
It. All right, let's take a break for news, and then we'll come back and listen to the conclusion of the Burns and Allen show. All right, we're back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa and I are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. I got it right, right, Lisa?
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah. We're here 6 hours. We play six classic radio shows. Elif Garris is our producer on Sunday nights, and she's in the booth there. How's it? It's nice and warm in there.
It is. It's cozy.
Yeah, it's very warm in the booth. Out here, it's like an igloo.
Yeah. Igloo.
It's like an igloo.
Is that a word?
Igloo. Igloo, igloo. It's an igloo.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
It's pretty cold out here. Although, it's not so bad tonight, but normally it's cold in here.
I'm trying to warm things up in here, Carl.
Yeah. So, Elif, you're looking good? Everything good with you?
Yeah, I am looking good.
You are looking very good. Yes, you are indeed.
And so are you guys.
Thank you very much. And we're here on Saturday and Sundays. We play all your favorite classic radio shows, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen. People have been asking for Boston Blackie, which is my favorite detective show, one of my favorite shows. And I think I like Boston Blackie because Boston Blackie was kind of a smart aleck. He was a smart alecky guy.
So I don't get the connection.
So I kind of like that about him.
Is that something that you appreciate?
Sort of smart alecky.
I didn't notice that.
And he had this sidekick. It was a gal.
Really?
And she was, but she helped him out.
She was what? Great. You didn't finish your thoughts.
No, she was a guest. She was actually a nurse.
Oh.
She was a nurse. Do you have any nursing
I absolutely
degrees?
Do not, no.
You have plenty of degrees.
I've played one on TV.
You have?
I have, yeah.
So we'll play some Boston Blackie soon. But right now we're tuning in to Burns and Allen. The special guest is Brian Donlevy. Let's go back to January 19th, 1943, for the conclusion of the Burns and Allen show.
You're a flirt. Oh, a flirt. Yeah.
You know, sort of a young vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think I'm cute?
Yes, as a matter of fact, you are. A little direct, but cute.
Well, do you really think I'm cute?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were standing on a corner and I passed by, would you say...
Oh, no, I'm much too well-bred. But I might murmur...
Oh, thank goodness. Do it again. Oh, you don't know what music that is to my ears.
Do you have a name or do I just whistle for you?
Oh, no. My name is Gracie Brine. Oh, come on, let's flirt some more.
All right. Well, I've told you how much I liked you. You haven't said what you think of me.
Oh, Brine, must you ask as you stand there with your muscles gleaming in the sun?
Now, let's not talk shop.
I saw you in Wake Island, Brian, and you were adorable.
Thanks. Whenever I play a Marine, I try to make him as adorable as possible.
Oh, dear, now you're angry with me. Oh, sure, you wouldn't be losing your temper with a pretty little Irish colleen now, would you?
Why shouldn't I? Well, now, what's this? You'll not be after telling me you're a lass from the owl country.
Oh, sure, and don't I look it?
Faith in that you do.
Huh, sure, and that's because I am.
Faith, and now are you?
Oh, sure, and I am.
Faith.
Sure.
Tell me now, Colleen, what part of the old side are you after hailing from?
San Francisco.
Oh. No, that isn't the old country, my girl. I'm from Independence, Missouri.
Oh, you know, Brian, I like you.
Thanks.
Would you care to go out on a double date tonight?
Faith in that, I... Oh, pardon me. Yes, I'd be very happy to, Gracie.
Oh, good. Meet me in my house at 8 o'clock. It's a big white one on the corner.
All right, that's a date.
Swell. Oh, Brian.
Yep.
Once more.
What? Oh.
Isn't it exciting, George? I know we'll have lots of fun double dating with Brian Donlevy. He'll be here in a few minutes.
Gee, that's swell.
Jealous there?
Of course not.
Oh. Mr. Don Levy is awfully nice. So strong and handsome.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Jealous, dear?
No, why should I be?
Oh. Well, would you be jealous if he made eyes at me tonight?
Why should he make eyes at you? He's got a date of his own.
Yeah, but he might think I'm cute. Lots of people think so. Is there anybody in this room who thinks so? Not counting me.
I do. And let's have less of the silly talk.
Oh, that must be Mr. Don Levy now. You entertain him, dear, while I run up and powder my nose.
Okay. Hello, come on in, Mr. Don Levy.
Thanks.
I'm George Burns, the other end of this double date.
Oh. Well, pleased to meet you, Mr. Burns. Hey, I hope you're doing as well tonight as I am. Have I got a date with a swell dish?
Well, have yourself a time.
Thanks.
You don't have to be embarrassed in front of me.
Well, hey, who's your date?
My wife.
Oh.
Oh, but she's plenty cute.
Just wait till you see this cute little Irish girl I'm taking out. Oh, brother.
That's a coincidence. My wife's Irish, too.
Yeah? Say, are we going to have some fun tonight?
You said it. It's going to be murder.
Say, George, what's the best way to make progress with a Colleen? Flattery?
No, that's too slow for the Irish.
Yeah?
Take my advice and move right in.
Oh. Wait a minute. Did you mean I should step right up and say, how about a kiss?
Say nothing. Huh? Just grab her, pick her up, and smack her. She'll love it.
Grab her, pick her up, and smack her right here?
Sure, don't mind me. I'm regular.
Okay, Burns, thanks for the tip.
Well, hello, boys. Here I am.
Gee, you look cute.
Yeah, what'd they tell you?
Hey, kid. Hey. What is that? What does this mean? You cut that out. You put my wife down.
Jealous, dear?
You're jealous?
Well, Jimmy Cash knows a top tune when he sees one, so here he is with the country's number one song, There Are Such Things.
A heart that's true, there are such things. A dream for two, there are such things. Someone to whisper, darling, you're my guiding star. Caring what you own, but just what you are, a peaceful sky. There are such things, a rainbow high, where heaven sings. So have a little faith and trust in what tomorrow brings. You'll reach a star, because there are such things.
When Brian Donlevy discovered that Gracie was a married woman, he grabbed his hat and started running.
Oh, wait, Mr. Donlevy, please. I don't want you to go.
Yeah, but your husband does. And so do I, and that makes a two-thirds majority. And thanks for a peculiar evening.
Oh, look, you just can't run away like this. What about your date?
Now, look, you're cute, but you're married. A wife is supposed to be a comfort to her husband in his old age, so go on back in the house and comfort him.
I suppose I'll have to tell you the whole truth.
What?
You see, my husband has been neglecting me. Today he even forgot our wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to make him jealous. Oh, won't you help me?
Oh, well, what sort of an act do you want me to put on?
Well, not too much. Just keep saying how cute and sweet I am.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to ask any man to tell a lie.
Oh, of course not.
And Make him mad enough to fight over me.
Oh.
Oh, only please be careful when you do. You know, you're sort of brutal and he's sort of brittle.
Well, I tell you what we do, Gracie. I'll try it. Who knows? It might be fun, huh?
Oh, thanks. Right this way.
Okay.
Gracie, you better explain why... Oh, you brought him back with you, huh?
It was my own idea, Mr. Burns. I came back to offer you an apology.
I accept it. Good night.
You see, the whole thing was a mistake. Now, if I'd known she was your wife, I'd never have kissed this gorgeous, exciting, desirable little girl.
What?
Well, at least not with you in the room.
Now, see here, Dunleavy.
Any man might have kissed your wife's delectable, maddening ruby lips, but only a heel would have enjoyed it.
You said it.
So I want to apologize for being a heel.
Oh.
Well, hiya, folks. I just dropped into... Well, I'll be doggone. Look who's here. My old pal, my old buddy. Hello, Briny.
Oh, hello, Sam.
He never can remember my name.
Bill, can I see you alone a minute?
Oh, sure. Excuse me, Briny. What's on your mind, George?
Your pal Dunleavy is flirting with Gracie, and I want you to throw him out.
Throw out Brian Dunleavy?
Yeah. You look as husky as he does.
Well, I know, George, but he got his muscles from exercise. I got mine from Hart, Schaffner, and Marks.
Bill, you've just got to get rid
now,
of...
Now, wait a minute. There is a way I can throw him out, George. Jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. I'll get him to shake hands with me, and then, boom, I'll toss him over my shoulder.
Well, that's great. I'll hold the door open.
Okay, George. Watch this. Well, so long, Briny. I hope we work together in another picture sometime.
I hope so, Sam.
Shall we shake hands on it?
Sure.
Briny.
What?
Your hand, it's all rough and red.
Yeah?
What kind of soap do you use?
Oh, no. Not now.
Briny, you should use Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than the finest Castiles, a baby gentle suds and whiz.
Bill, over the shoulder. Vroom, vroom.
Briny, oh, you...
Jiu-jitsu.
Briny, you've been a naughty boy. Don't you know that women have long considered Castile soaps the standard of purity? But that Swan is even purer than the finest Castiles? So pure it's kind to a baby's tender skin? Didn't you know that Swan is great for bathing little babies?
Hmm? My mommy never told me.
Well, it is.
Bill, jiu-jitsu, boom, boom, out. The door is open.
And, Briny, listen, if Swan is that pure, you know it must be great for your hands and face, your tub or shower.
Bill, I would like to see some jiu-jitsu, you know, over the shoulder.
Oh, yes.
Boom,
jiu-jitsu,
boom, out.
Oh, okay, boom. Watch this, George. Okay. Well, so long, Briny. Put her there.
Well, that takes care of that.
Hey. Gee, if I knew that was Bill, I'd have waved to him as he flew by.
Yeah? Well, now, let me see. Where were we?
Oh, you were talking about my eyes, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You were telling me how beautiful they are.
Was I?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, of course I was. Oh, your eyes are thrilling, Gracie. They're limpid pools of loveliness. Blue as a tropic lagoon. Mysterious, compelling, irresistible.
Well... They're brown, but you got everything else right.
Oh, Gracie, the color is a mere detail.
Oh, well, of course. Jealous, dear?
Yes, I am. Now, look here, Dunleavy. You say one more thing like that to my wife, and we'll step outside and fight.
Okay. Gracie, I'd like to take you in my big, strong arms and crush you to me. And then I'd smother you with kisses.
You would?
Yeah.
I mean, you would. George, are you going to stand for that?
No, sir. Dunleavy, you say one more thing like that to my wife and we step outside and fight.
Okay. Gracie. What? You know we were meant for one another. Gracie, leave your husband and fly away with me.
Dunleavy, you say one more thing like that
but
to my
George!
Wife and we step outside.
George, that's the third thing he said. Aren't you going to fight?
Well, all right. Come on outside, Dunleavy.
Okay.
Let's fight.
Okay. Thought you'd never get at it.
Oh, good. I'm going to be fought over. Isn't it thrilling? You know what I always say? A fair heart ne'er won. So faint, lady.
Yeah. I'll always remember that.
Let's go, Burns. Will you pardon us, Gracie?
Oh, well, of course. And may the best... May George win.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, okay, Dunleavy. Put up your hands. I'm ready for you.
George, you're supposed to close your fists.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What do I do now?
Look, George, I'm not going to fight with you. This whole thing was cooked up by Gracie just to make you jealous.
What? The things that dame gets me into.
Well, it's your own fault. Now, you've been neglecting her, George. You haven't been romantic enough.
Well, I guess...
And there's only one way to square yourself. You've got to beat me up.
Huh. Must be an easier way than that.
Well, no, George. I mean, we'll just fake it, you know? I'll tell you what we'll do now. We'll beat our chests, and I'll yell like you're murdering me. Hmm. On the second thought, I think we both better beat my chest.
Well, never mind. I'll just beat my own chest. Let's go.
All right.
Oh!
All right. That's enough, hero. You'd better open the door.
No, don't hit me anymore, mister. Please don't hit me. I'll be good. Well, have a care that you are, my man. Now go before I thrash you within an inch of your life.
Yes, sir, Mr. Burns. Yes, sir.
Oh, my hero.
Oh, shucks. It wasn't anything.
Oh, you do love me. You even fought for me. And I know you'll never forget our anniversary again.
A what?
Well, today is January the 19th, our anniversary.
You're crazy. Our anniversary is October 4th.
Oh, my goodness, that's right. Oh, January 19th is Mama's birthday.
Oh, no.
Now, till next week at the same time, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I swan, how about you? Good night.
That's the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show going back to January 19th, 1943. That was heard on CBS. It originated out of KNX in Los Angeles, and it was sponsored by Swan Soap. Swan Soap, Lisa. It had a gold swan on the outer cake, you know, on the outer packaging of the cake itself.
Are you talking about cake?
Well, they call them little cakes of soap. That's
Did
what
you
they used
mention
to call
cake for any reason?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was Gracie's mother's birthday. She was talking about that at the end there. And in the cast, the special guest was Brian Donlevy. And then you heard Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, Jimmy Cash, Six Hits and a Miss. Clarence Nash was the duck. You know, Chauncey the Duck or whatever, Clarence the Duck, whatever the duck's name was. But Clarence Nash was the voice of Donald Duck in the Walt Disney cartoons. So they actually had the same actor that voiced Donald Duck as a cast member on the Burns and Allen Show for many years. And Elvia Allman was the woman that was walking around. They were trying to find someone to make George Gracie. Elvia Allman, she did a lot of radio as well on that program. Hope you enjoyed the Burns and Allen Show, and I hope you enjoyed our salute to Brian Donlevy. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Well, next week, Lisa and I will be back here on Saturday and Sunday, 11 p.m. I almost said 10. 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. You would think after over a year I would know what time we're on the radio. Does that happen to you,
it's
Nick?
A little confusing,
Does
Carl.
That happen to you, Nick, at all? Do you?
Well, for many years, I did so many different shifts here that I never knew what time I was on.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I know I'm on from 2 to 5.
It's 2 to 5. Yeah. Monday through Friday, 2 to 5.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sometimes I keep wanting to say 10 o'clock. I don't mean to do that to Rick
Every
Hogan.
Every time he says it, he looks at me to make sure he's got the right
because
time
Because I
there.
Get here at 10 o'clock, but we don't go on the air till 11 o'clock. Okay. Next week, when we are here at 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock in the morning, we have a salute to Gregory Peck.
Mm.
Terrific actor. We're going to hear him. Are you ready for this? On 3 episodes of Suspense. So it's Gregory Peck on Suspense. That's on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're going to hear 3 radio shows starring William Powell. Remember Nick and Nora Charles?
Yeah, of course.
William Powell. We'll hear him on the Burns and Allen Show, Suspense, and the Screen Guild Theater. That's next week. And Elif, you'll be here next week, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. She does a Elif is amazing.
She's worked with me.
She
I
does
think
a
she's
terrific.
Great.
She's
oh, thank
she's
you.
So fabulous. She's so sweet. She's so nice to work with. We love you.
Likewise.
And thank you. And she hits all the right buttons. So I mean, I don't know. We're gonna have to get her a big Christmas present because her birthday already passed. So we'll have to get her a big Christmas present. What do you think? Book of matches. What do you think?
It's up to her. I don't
what
know.
What do you think?
What's
Nick?
On your list?
A book of matches.
Book of matches. Yeah.
Yeah, that
big
that
present.
Was on my list.
Wait, what's your favorite store again? What was that store? It's right down the block.
Zara.
She likes Zara. I don't never heard
and
of it.
And Topshop.
Topshop.
I was listening.
Good memory.
That's a girl thing, Nick.
I have no
you
idea.
Know, I mean, we like yeah. to go to you know.
Where well, do yeah, you... I don't know women.
I'm like,
I've been divorced twice.
You know,
I have no idea what the hell's going on.
I'm like Kohl's. No, I actually my favorite store is Nordstrom. I love Nordstrom, and I like Neiman Marcus, but pretty expensive. So I like Nordstrom. Nordstrom's good.
Okay.
You know?
I trust you.
I'm looking at Nick's face. He's like, yeah, whatever.
So what's going on, Nick? Good
Not
to see
much.
You, man. He's got his Cubs hat on.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When I came in earlier, around 12-ish,
yes.
What were you playing? Was Keenan Wynn? Were you, did
no.
Keenan, who was the other guy? What did you play it was like after 12 o'clock? What was playing?
Dangerous Assignment.
Okay. Who was
with
who?
Brian Donlevy.
All right. And who else was in that? Do you remember? Because, God, one of the guys sounded exactly like Keenan.
Yeah, you know what? He might have been in there, but
okay.
He could have been in the cast.
Because as soon as I walked into the building,
like,
I was
Keenan
like, that's
Wynn.
Keenan Wynn. Keenan Wynn's one of my favorite character
oh,
actors
yeah,
of
great,
all time.
Great.
And I thought, wow, that's Keenan Wynn.
And you know who his dad was?
Yeah.
Edwin.
Edwin. That's
yeah.
right.
Kind of a silent movie guy, but then he did some talking
he
stuff.
He did,
yeah.
Edwin
he did some talking. He actually
stuff.
Had a television show, too,
yep.
for a while.
Yeah.
And I think the two of them acted in a Playhouse 90 one time. As well, the two
yeah.
of them together. So.
He's Keenan Wynn is a guy that, well, I mean, most people might remember him maybe from Strangelove. He's in Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to deal with the Coca-Cola
gosh.
Company.
Let me tell you.
That's Keenan
One of my favorite movies of all
oh,
time.
Oh, absolutely.
Just
but Keenan Wynn was one
incredible.
Of those guys who was in everything. Like,
yeah.
Like from the 60s through
yeah.
when he died. I think he died in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was in like everything.
Yeah, and he did a lot of television too
yeah.
in the 1950s. He did a lot of TV,
he was one
black
of my
and
favorite,
white television.
One of my favorite character actors.
But yeah, when he you're going to have to deal with the Coca-Cola company.
He's phenomenal in that.
He does it so deadpan,
he's great.
You know. And Sterling Tracy.
Sterling Hayden.
Oh, Sterling
Hayden.
Hayden
yeah.
yeah. Sterling Hayden in that movie. And of course,
the best performance in that movie.
Sterling Hayden. I mean, when he's talking about how the water is contaminated.
For me, George C. Scott.
Yeah.
The fact that George C. Scott did not go on to do all comedy after that, because that's one of the funniest performances. He's hysterical.
How about when he falls and rolls and
that wasn't planned.
In the war room?
That was not planned.
When he falls and rolls and he just wakes up.
He fell, and he rolled, and he stood right up and said his line, and Kubrick was like, we're going to keep that.